the Chinese could benefit from learning something of the Canadian experience. But as I say, Canada and many other countries have similar projects, and I think while they're the right thing to do, I'm not sure that they're really going to be definitive in changing anything in China in a meaningful way. I think that'll come from within China's own.
Although one step at a time, and you think about training judges. Tell me a little bit more about that program.
Well, there is a center funded by the Canadian government in Beijing, and then the judges in their second year go to the Faculty of Law at the University of Montreal for further training. And then you hope after they finish that they resume being judges, although some of them have decided to stay in Canada or are working for foreign legal firms. But, you know, in general, the project is a good one. We have a good legal system here that we think China should try and learn from, and we find that the judges are genuinely interested in the course materials, and, you know, as a result, the rule of law in China should benefit.
How would you define the relationship between trade and human rights?
Well, I don't see any direct relationship in the sense that China's had massively expanded foreign trade, and we don't see a lot of difference in the way that the Chinese government treats its citizens domestically. Certainly opening up is a good thing, and the World Trade Organization, of which China's become a member, demands that members follow the rule of law and maintain contracts, which has got to be a good thing. But on the whole, I don't think that one can make a direct connection between those two.
You don't think that increased trade with other Western countries as well as Canada could eventually lead to conditions being improved?
Well, it makes for a more open society, and more Chinese would be going abroad and seeing how things are in other countries. And, you know, that's got to be good. But I don't think the trade itself really does much. Maybe as China becomes richer, you get the development of a middle class, and these people feel that they have entitlements of citizenship, and that could have a democratizing influence. But you know, this is really in the area of theory. I believe it when I see it. And the changes in China, it's hard to know what factors are definitive, but you just hope that eventually China will come into compliance. And I think a big thing is that the Chinese government wants to be regarded as a respected institution in the world, and that China should have a good reputation for good international citizenship. And so I think that keeping the pressure up on human rights does induce the Chinese government to give this area more priority in their planning than they might otherwise. So I think on the whole it's a good thing to keep the human rights flame alive.
All right. Thanks for joining us this morning.
Very nice to talk to you.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Charles Burton is a former economic and political affairs counselor with the Canadian Embassy in Beijing. He teaches political science at Brock University in St. Catharines, Ontario.
Hi, this is Dan Reinisch. On January 22, 1992, Dr. Roberta Bondar became the first Canadian woman to go into space. So on the next Saskatchewan weekend, with the exception of...